Antoinette Cespena, with Alcatraz Cruises, a National Park Service concessionaire, shares insights about unique tours, such as the night tours with a maximum of 30, with two docents, a nighttime boat trip around the entire island, and descend into a pitch-black dungeon. Cespena also offers tips about booking your tickets 3 months in advance, and off the main track ways to experience the former federal penitentiary, and the latest reports of the escape from Alcatraz Anglin brothers being alive and well in South America.
Here we are in San Francisco. We're with Antoinette Cespena. She works for Alcatraz Cruises. What a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you as well. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So Alcatraz Cruises is the National Park Service concessionaire. It's pretty much the only way to get to Alcatraz, and you get to get off and come home too.
That's right. Only on good behavior, of course. So we are the official concessioner with the National Park Service, and we handle the ticketing, the transportation, and marketing and sales for tours out to Alcatraz, and we're stoked and privileged to be able to be the only company here in San Francisco that does that.
That's so cool. I think one of the untold secrets of going to Alcatraz and Alcatraz Cruises specifically is people think you're just going to come to San Francisco, walk up to the ticket booth, and get on the next boat. Not so. Tell us about how far in advance you're going to want to plan.
Well, you definitely want to set the date as well in advance as possible. We do have tickets available 90 days out, so it kind of goes on a rolling calendar, but the sooner the better. I mean, in peak season, we're sold out for 6 to 8 weeks in advance and sometimes further out with some of our premium tours, so we definitely recommend booking in advance.
So, bottom line, what you're recommending is planning 3 months in advance.
Yes, if not sooner. So definitely setting the date if it's a year out, if it's 6 months out, but definitely marking the calendar 90 days from that date to go ahead and check out our website and secure those tickets early. You know, there are certain times of the year where we do have what we call early bird or walk-up tickets, and those are for people who didn't know to book in advance.
Cool. Well, tell us what's new.
The guest experience, safety, of course. We're also very proud of the environmental initiatives that we as a company really uphold. We buy local, we buy sustainable, so any opportunity that we get in terms of purchasing, some of the vendors that we use, we make sure that they're local. We really, really look at the environmental impact. You know, we want to leave the planet better than when we found it. So just being green, we hope that other companies on the bay and on the water follow suit.
And you truly are green, even your vessels. I saw wind power generator on one of your boats.
Yes, there's, you know, different technology that we use that's the leading technology that other companies are really looking at, I mean, including the U.S. Coast Guard in terms of the technology. We look at the diesel, and every year the diesel that we purchase goes down just because we're utilizing more of that technology on board. There's wind power, there's solar, there's battery that we charge our vessels to shore power in the evening. So we really, really do reduce the emissions.
And how many vessels go outbound every day, and how long does it take to get there? Kind of a scenic cruise, just the journey of getting there, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no better vantage point of the San Francisco skyline than from one of our boats. During peak season, we have about 20 crossings that go out leaving San Francisco. Those same vessels kind of doing a round trip, so every half hour there's a boat that comes back. The duration of the tours, the day tours, is typically about 3 hours, but people can spend 2 hours out there if they're a little bit pressed for time.
Or you could spend all day,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. They can go out at 8:45 in the morning and then come back at 6:45 at night, so it just depends. And we do have those people who really, really just get immersed in the experience. You know, once you're on the island, we talk about the audio tour. It's an award-winning audio tour. It's about 45 minutes, and it's voices from the past that guide you throughout the cell house. It's former inmates. It's guards. It's families and children that lived on the island. And in addition to that, almost every day, there are guest authors that are out there that you can come and visit, and that schedule's on our website as well. So,
and these are ex-cons and former guards and
yes.
People that were on the ground when...
Oh.
Alcatraz was up and running.
Absolutely. You know, obviously they're there to share their experience. A lot of what they have documented has been published, and they have lots of books that they sell, and they just really enjoy sharing their experience on the island. And what a treat for some people. I mean, some people go out there not knowing that they're there, and when it's there, it's a huge treat for them. So they get to buy their book, they get to get their autograph, they get photo opportunities with the former inmates and guards. Again, the children that stayed on the island, there are several of those guest speakers that frequent the island as well.
As I recall, you have annual events that take place year in and year out that are real special on the Rock.
Absolutely. I think the month of November is especially jam-packed with events. You know, Alcatraz, I kind of think of as an onion where when you peel the different layers, I mean, that kind of refers to all of the history and the different phases and eras that the island has gone through over some time. Today, it's a national park, but we also remember Alcatraz Island as being the place where Native Americans protested. There were some protests that were held about 48 years ago, and every November there are two celebrations that commemorate those occupations, and one is the Indians of All Tribes Day. That always happens in the third week of November, and in addition to that, shortly after, is of course the Sunrise Gathering, where there are dancers, there are speakers, there's prayer held, and it really is just to commemorate that occupation.
And that's open to everybody?
Definitely, it's open for everybody. You can just purchase a ticket.
Not a special ticket, you just purchase the Alcatraz Cruises ticket and you're good to go, right?
Yes.
No surcharge or extra ticket?
No, there's no surcharges. So once you purchase a ticket, there's nothing in addition that you would have to pay once you arrive at Alcatraz for any of the programs, for these events and for any other ones that occur on the island.
You have some other events, right, annually?
We do have some other events that happen in August every year. That's one of our favorite events because it actually is an event where former inmates and guards and alumni of Alcatraz, whether they were children, again, guards and their families go out and actually are presenting certain aspects of their tie-in with Alcatraz. There's a Q&A session, and everybody gets to talk about their experience and answer questions from the public. And again, that's nothing in addition that you would have to pay. Typically, it's the second Sunday in August every year we have that, so we're thrilled.
So the public can talk face-to-face with the living guards and ex-cons.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yes.
Because I think we all get these myths, legend and lore, you know, people go, oh my God, you know, is this true out on Alcatraz? And you're going, no, I don't think so. So here's this opportunity to talk to the guys that lived it, were there.
You know, with everything that surrounds something that you're not quite sure about, there's always stories that, you know, people will fabricate. But on these days, and even the days where we have special guests that come out to the island, it really allows people to kind of clear the air and really ask the questions of, was this really true? Did this really happen? And they're happy to share it, and they're very candid. You know, sometimes a little too candid, but it's great.
Let's talk about more about the educational component about the Alcatraz experience. That's what really makes it understandable and tangible.
Yeah, absolutely. Alcatraz is committed to several things. I mean, I mentioned earlier about safety, our commitment to the environment, but of course education is a huge part of our mission and what we think about when we put programs together. I mentioned Alcatraz being an onion and it kind of evolving over some time. It once was a Civil War prison. It was most famous for being a federal penitentiary and today even a national park. So these four eras are featured in a traveling exhibit that we put together. And it's a really, really amazing thing where this traveling exhibit is hosted in several locations and different venues where
Around
the country. It has traveled quite a bit. And it allows the opportunity for people who, you know, are not able to make it out to San Francisco to experience it, they can go and visit it at this museum, so even if not coming to San Francisco. So again, it's very, very important for us as a company and part of our culture to educate.
Numbers can be boring, but I'm fascinated by the numbers associated with Alcatraz, and that has to do with annual visitors and from where people come from, which is literally around the world.
Yes.
Probably more so by far than San Franciscans, who that's the last thing they do before they leave, is finally go out to Alcatraz.
It's so funny you mentioned that, and it's so true. Alcatraz, to some of our locals, are associated, you know, being in a location where there are a lot of tourists. Fisherman's Wharf is very historic, Pier 39, just that the whole waterfront area. So it is common that you find someone that's born and raised, or even not born and raised, that don't want to visit the island because they take it for granted. you know.
Whereas, I think a lot of people just think, someday I'll go out there, I'll get around it, and they never do.
That's so true. Yeah. It's so true. I mean, it's like, it's either they've gone in fourth grade because they were forced to study in California history, or they were forced to because people came in from out of town and they had to go and take them around. So it's great to hear even locals get really excited about it, I think, more so than, you know, the international or even East Coast visitor, because they're just thrilled and delighted that they did it. You know, even in our efforts with reaching the locals, we try to market to the locals, especially when there isn't as much visitation happening. But they're very impressed, and I love hearing and seeing the reactions on their faces when they go out to visit the island for the first time and you know, ask the question, why did I wait so long?
But it must be fascinating on the other side, the international tourists that you see out there, and you, the languages you hear, and the whole world comes to you.
Yeah, we're very fortunate in that we offer the audio tour, and that's an award-winning audio tour that takes you through the cell house. But the most recent addition to the languages offered is Russian. Right now we're up to 11, which is fantastic.
What's your annual visitation? What sort of numbers are we talking about?
We're at 1.7 million annual visitors, and to be quite honest with you, it's very difficult. If there were no limitations or caps on the number of people that could go out to the island every year, who knows what that number would be. I think it would be in the upwards of 4 to 5 million.
And I seem to recall part of that dynamic is the National Park Service wanting to limit to a point just wear and tear.
Yeah, that's absolutely accurate. In terms of the wear and tear, I think that's a huge focus in terms of ensuring that the natural resources are in a condition where generations from now can enjoy it. But it's also the experience. I mean, it boils down to what it would be like if it was too crowded. So there was a lot of time and effort and studies to figure out what that balance was. I mean, we're going through cell block, we're going through somewhat of a narrow spaces, so we had to take all of that into consideration.
Alcatraz is called the Rock for a literal reason. It's a rock. It's a giant rock. There's no fertile soil out there. And yet, there's some beautiful greenery and gardens out there. How did that happen?
During the penitentiary era, it was really interesting that, you know, the families lived on the island. A majority of the officers that were there were actually single, but there were quite a few that were married. They had their wives and they had their children there. There were several social clubs on Alcatraz during that time, and the women primarily, they did have a garden club out there where they planted beautiful floral arrangements, most non-native to the island, but it did bring a lot of color to it. So over some time, there has been a nonprofit group strictly committed to restoring those gardens. They're beautiful and they're lush, and there are people that work out there all year round. It's the Gardens Conservancy, but 95% of those people that maintain them and plant are volunteers. So it's a really, really thriving garden at this point. And actually, in one of our behind-the-scenes tours for our night programs, there is a focus on gardens where they talk through some of the history that I just mentioned, but it's an extended part of the tour.
One of the coolest things that I haven't done yet, but I've heard about, and that's the night tour. There's more than just going out there during the daytime. Tell us about the diversity of different tours you can take out there.
We do have the standard day tour, and those depart all day, about every half hour. There are two different night tours. There's a night program, which is our standard, but more recently we launched what's called the behind the scenes tour. So for those programs, there is an actual docent that's on board. There's a full circle around the island as opposed to during the day where it's a direct shot. So from the boat, you see the different angles and buildings from that vantage point where on board is.
And you couldn't on the rock see some of that stuff. You have to be on the water.
That's right. There's no way to see those sides of the island unless it's from the water. So during the night program, that's one thing that's unique about it. These tours, they're far more intimate. During the day, there are lots of people walking around about every half hour, but all of those guests are actually swept off the island for the night program. Your tour starts from the time you get off the boat. The behind-the-scenes tour specifically, there's only 30 people per tour, and there are two docents. So that 1-to-2 ratio of being able to, for the guests to be able to answer or ask questions about the different sites that they're visiting. For that behind-the-scenes tour, it's roughly 6 hours, so it's a very intense tour. There's a lot of walking into different areas, but what's so cool about it is that you're allowed into places that you're not allowed during the day. So as an example, the Citadel, or what we call the dungeon, you know, there, part of the reason why it's so intimate is that that's the maximum number of people that are allowed in those spaces. So you really become immersed in the experience. You know, they shut off the lights, so that you really experience what it was like in the dark. There is the third level of the cell house where during the day you're not able to go up into those areas, but you're able to actually see the cell house from that vantage point as well. So in addition to that, there are far more areas on the island that are accessible for our behind the scenes tour. So during that 6-hour stretch, it's guided from the time that you're there to the time that you get back on the boat. Included in that is also, again, the 45-minute award-winning audio tour program as well. But we really recommend that for those that are able to go at night to book those well in advance. I mentioned this earlier, but the sooner the better. Those are all year round sold out. You'll never be able to actually walk up to the ticket booth to purchase that. So we definitely recommend advance reservations for those.
I'm asked all the time, and I'm sure you are, is how many prisoners were out there at any one time? A lot of people think 1,000 or 2,000. Not the case.
So during its federal penitentiary era, there were about 200 to 300 prisoners at one time. You know, the number of guards, that ratio from guard to prisoner was between, you know, one guard for every 2 to 3 prisoners, which was unheard of.
Okay, one last question. I know you're asked, and did anybody ever make it off the raft?
Oh, gosh. You'll get a different answer from everybody, you know, for...
What's your instinct?
You ask. So there was some recent discoveries. There was some recent news that came up about the Angler brothers and whether or not they actually escaped to South America. There were reports and, you know, even distant family members that were reaching out to some of the local media and even the government to say that they had proof that they were actually alive and thriving. Photographs, letters, evidence of their being alive, well and thriving down in South America has recently surfaced. So it'll be interesting to see. That was very recent news, and I am glued to follow that and to see where that develops.
Antoinette Suspina, Director of Sales and Marketing, Alcatraz Cruises, thanks for sharing.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure speaking with you this afternoon.
It's been fun. Illuminated. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from the Palace Hotel in the heart of downtown San Francisco.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.